Fetch me Mador. I don't care what whore you have to pry him off. Bring him to me within the quarter hour, or it's your balls I'll be dining on. The fey bitch shoved him away, then headed away. The captain of the guards turned on his companions with a hiss. You heard her. Fetch the mandrake. Fuck you. Varian Dufay slid his knife straight into the lung of the bastard in front of him and held him upright until he stopped struggling. Only then did he use his powers to remove all traces of the Fae's existence. Damn, V, that's so cold. Wiping the blood off on the sleeve of his jerkin, he sneered at his hellhound companion. Oh, like you wouldn't have bitten his throat out then licked your own balls. Probably the former, but never the latter. Too many others willing to do that for me. Kazeel grinned at him. At any rate, killing an Adonai on an errand for your mother seems a bit reckless when we're supposed to be keeping a low profile. And to think Aaron and Nick accuse me of being rash. You are rash, my friend. So rash it's actually creeping down your neck. Those are the hives I get from being this close to you when you're doing something profoundly stupid. Kazeel glanced down the hallway to make sure no one else was around. Damn shame to be this near to your mother, and she didn't recognize you.
You've no idea.
But I wouldn't put anything past her. The main thing for now is that we find Blaze and let him know what's going on. You go find them.
Kazeel hesitated.
What about you?
We still need more information. I'm after the dragons to see why my mother was so insistent on them, and especially Madol. That's not like her, which means there's something peculiar there, and I tend to find out what.
Kazeel inclined his head to him. As he started away, Varian grabbed his wrist and pulled him into a dark alcove. They'd barely vanished into the curtained shadows before two men came down the hallway, grumbling. They paused right in front of their hiding spot so they could examine each other.
You don't think we're infected, do you?
The dark-haired Fae bit his lip.
I hope not. They're feeding the infected to the Gallu.
Cursing, they went on their way. Varian didn't move for several heartbeats as he digested that news.
Damn you, Apollo.
Something cold brushed against Varian. Quicker than he could think, he drew his dagger and lunged. The shadow beside him solidified into a man who quickly disarmed him and tisked. Careful, cuz. I require dinner before someone daggers me. He rolled his eyes at the shadow-born demon who had eyes of steel, and like his very soul, his shoulder-length hair that he wore pulled back into a short ponytail was neither light nor dark, but strands of varying shades that were trapped squarely between his two dueling natures. Shadow was fearless as a rule, and he was the most evil thing that stalked the darkness and called the deadliest night home.
Careful, demon. You tread on treacherous ground to be snaking up on me.
Sorry about that, but I'm here to let you know Apollo's closing the noose around the dragons, trying to get the dragon stone before Helios. Otherwise, all is lost.
I already knew that.
Shadow growled at him. I saved your life. Let's not forget the good part.
Are you done harassing me?
Not even close.
He flashed a cocky grin at Varian. I'm also here for your portal key. Varian laughed until he realized it wasn't a joke.
Are you crazy?
Without a key, he'd be trapped here.
Probably, but our friends have no way to walk through the portals back to their world.
Can't you get them through on your own?
He shook his head. Shadow walkers can only pass through alone. Without a key, they'd be trapped and forced to wave at me on the other side.
Well, that sucks.
More than you know.
Shadow held his hand out.
Give it up.
Grumbling, Varian pulled the dragon key from around his neck and handed it over.
How am I supposed to get back?
After pocketing the key, Shadow clapped him on the arm.
You're resourceful.
Surely you'll think of something.
I hear that you're good in a crisis.
You're such a bastard.
Of course I am. Suckled on the tit of all evil itself.
There was never any shaming the rank demon. He thrived on insults for some unknown reason. Disgruntled and annoyed, Varian sighed.
And here I thought you were some master thief who could steal a key from anyone you wanted.
I can, unfortunately,
They tend to miss such an item quickly and form a search party for it. Last thing we need is them finding our comrades before us. If Falcon Stone falls into our enemy's hands. There was that. And Varian's stomach tightened at the thought. Shadow was right, and he knew it. Which also made him think of something else. Question. Not an oracle, but you're free to attempt it.
How is it that the Sharrock can't detect you?
Varian had a hard enough time eluding their detection whenever he ventured here on his missions. He'd never understood how Shadow managed it.
You want secrets I'm unwilling to give?
He passed a gimlet stare to Kazeel, who was being unusually quiet.
The two of you aren't the only ones with pasts you don't want disclosed.
And with that, he vanished.
Kazeel crossed his arms over his chest. You trust him?
I don't trust anyone, other than my wife and children, but he's never given me a specific reason not to. Why?
Just thinking of something Aaron always says. I'd sooner trust my enemy than a friend, as I can afford to lose an enemy. But killing a friend over betrayal burns twice as deep and thrice as long.
Your point?
No point, really. Just something about that demon makes my hackles rise.
Varian couldn't agree more.
Don't worry, like you. My bite is much worse than my bark.
And he'd taken enough lives to prove it. If Shadow betrayed them, Varian would have no compunctions about laying open his throat. Still, there was an evil presence here. And for once, it wasn't his mother. No, this was something far more insidious, like a blackness trying to devour the world, like Nithilgur gnawing at the roots of Yggdrasil as he sought to free himself from his prison. For now, it was contained, but his gut said it wouldn't stay that way. Kazeel scowled at him.
What's wrong? Just a bad premonition. Oh. What the world would be like if we failed to stop Apollo?
Morgan watched as Apollo left her bed to dress. Exceptionally tall and golden fair from the top of his blonde head all the way to his toes, he was exactly what one would expect of a god, in and out of bed. She pouted.
Why are you leaving?
It's taking too long to round up the dragon. I don't like this delay. We have to take care of this before Helios overthrows me and takes all my powers.
She scoffed at his concerns.
My men will handle it. They know better than to fail me.
He rinsed his mouth and spat before he turned toward her, patting his chin dry.
And I know my son. He was ever resourceful. Not to mention that bitch he serves. Apollome hates me with a passion, as do her two sons. It took me too long to escape her after that bastard Styx gift-wrapped me and handed me over. I have a staggering debt to repay them all.
Two sons? I thought her one and only son was dead.
I wish.
He let out a bitter laugh.
Nay, my evil fey queen, not dead.
Asheron is hers by birth and conception, brought back to life by my idiot of a twin sister who wanted to fuck him, and instead screwed the rest of us by her insatiable appetite for an ex-human whore. As for Styx, he belongs to Apollome by adoption. To that end, you can count my son as well. Indeed, she oft mothers Stryker more than she does her own.
Really? Any other brats I need to know about?
He dropped the towel and reached for his pants to pull them on.
You could almost count the Malachi. He is a direct descendant of her firstborn, granted 1,000 times removed.
And Orion. She pampers and protects him as well.
5 sons for Apollome.
Morgan rose up to lean against him.
Does she consider the current Malachi as one of hers?
Not as far as I know.
Her loyalty to that end seems to have died with her original son, Monocribos.
And what of his father? Was Cassere not supposed to be reborn so that he could return to her?
Apollo froze in the middle of buttoning his shirt. He blinked slowly before he answered.
He was indeed.
A slow, evil grin spread across his face. Why, Morgan, dearest evil bitchtress. I do believe you found something. So, he was reborn.
Laughing, Apollo pulled her naked body against his. I don't know. But I know who will.
The Fates.
He didn't say it, but Morgan knew the answer as well as he did. Those three whores knew everything about everyone. They were the greatest gossiping bitches ever born.
And if he does live, Apollo whispered against her lips, we will find him and gut him at her feet.
I don't follow. Wouldn't that be a bit anticlimactic? What's the point?
He kissed her lips. The point is that the goddess of all destruction and darkness has only had three weaknesses in the whole of her life. Kisseri, Monocribos, and Acheron.
He nipped at her lips. Given how frigid a bitch she is, I'm willing to bet that they had more in common than just their mother.
Morgan's eyes widened as she finally understood.
You're thinking that Acheron's father is Kisseri reincarnated.
He actually drew blood from her bottom lip with his fangs as he pulled back and nodded.
It would explain so much.
Archon swore he would never father a child with her. And he went to his nebulous state claiming Acheron wasn't his son. Had Apollome truly loved him, she would never have allowed Styx to end him. God knows, she suffered much to protect Kisseri and their offspring.
Then, who is Acheron's real father?
Only Apollome knows.
Morgan smiled at his newfound knowledge and what it signified.
And the Fates.
If they don't, they will learn it.
He gave her one last kiss, then stepped away. She frowned at his actions.
Where are you off to?
To find my demon. I have another errand for him.
Shake that moneymaker, baby. You go. Make that barrier pay. Kick it. Show us more biceps. Spank it till it bleeds. Come on, you can do it. Pound it harder.
Orion growled at Medea and her sexual harassment. Falcon turned around to glare at Medea as she sat on the ground beside Brogan and catcalled to them while he, Orion, Blaze, and Brandor sought some way to break through the barrier. Hands on hips, he narrowed his gaze at her.
Not helpful.
Medea put her hand up to her lips before she leaned closer to Brogan to whisper, rather loudly,
neither are their attempts, but notice it doesn't stop them from trying.
Brogan laughed.
Falcon arched a brow at their misplaced humor.
Instead of heckling, woman, you could try helping.
She flashed a grin to expose a hint of fang. I am helping. I'm giving you encouragement, dragonfly.
His jaw out of joint, he turned toward Orion.
Would you consider this encouraging?
Coming from my sister? Yeah. She's not throwing things at you or directly insulting us and our parentage. Hell of an improvement, you ask me. Makes me wonder what you've done to her that she actually located some semblance of humor.
Medea shot a blast at Orion, who deftly dodged it. Laughing, he returned it with one of his own, knowing she wouldn't let it hit her.
Hey,
Falcon snapped, shoving Orion aside.
Play nice. You hurt your sister, and I'll fry your ass, ash or no ash.
Medea righted herself from where she'd dove to miss Orion's blast.
You tell him, sweet cheeks.
Orion scowled.
Is she drunk?
He glanced back at Blaze and Brandor.
What did you throw on her again?
Water.
Brandor wiped at his brow.
Yep, that wasn't the way she was acting.
Orion was beginning to think a pod person had kidnapped her. Medea scoffed.
I'm fine. We're just enjoying the sight of male stubbornness at its prime best, and wondering at what point the lot of you will cede defeat.
She glanced over to Brogan.
How long have they been pounding at this poor, defenseless shell now?
At least an hour.
Brogan wrinkled her nose. Blaze shot a sudden blast at it that recoiled and hit Brandor squarely in the chest. The blast knocked him back 15 feet and sent him head over heels until he landed on his side in a smoking heap. Medea burst out laughing again. With a groan, he pushed himself into a seated position to glare at Blaze.
Really, Mandrake? Really?
Squeaking in fear for her brother, Brogan scrambled to her feet to check on Brandor. and to make sure he didn't attack Blaze out of anger over his indignity.
"You know, Falcon," Medea taunted, "I think that puts the wall over for bonus points on all your sorry hides."
"At least we're doing something. You could try your hand at it, you know."
"Why? It's obviously not budging. If sheer force of will could open it, I'd give it to you, and it would have surrendered 10 hours ago."
"1 hour ago."
"Tomato, tomato."
Leaning on her side, she propped her head on her hand.
"I should go ahead and take a nap while a lot of you waste your time."
Orion was ignoring their sniping banter, at least until a sharp light almost blinded him. Summoning a god bolt, he was about to release it when the shadow took form of a man he knew well, and one he trusted, not at all. The moment he saw the glow engulfing their hands, Shadow drew up short and set fire to his own hands as if to retaliate.
"Whoa, down boy.
What are you doing here?" After allowing the fire in his hands to go out, Shadow tugged at one of the three amulets he wore about his neck over his head.
"I have a present for you."
"It's a portal key," Blaze said instantly. "I can feel it on him."
"The Mandrake would be correct. Varian sent me to escort the lot of you out of here."
"We need to get back to Sanctuary," Medea rose to her feet. "We've wasted enough time."
"First, we have to free the dragons at Camelot," Blaze reminded her.
Yeah, Orion was definitely on Blaze's side with this one. Medea rolled her eyes.
"They're statues, right? Been that way for centuries? What's a few more days? Meanwhile, my people are dying even as we speak. We need to save them."
Blaze approached her with angry strides. He stopped right in front of her so that he could speak in sharp staccato beats.
"If they free the dragons, they'll tear through your daemons. They'll die anyway."
Brandor growled at her.
"And Falcon's sister is among those being held. She'll be the first slaughtered, should she wake her. Would you condemn her, too?"
Orion's heart stopped at those words.
Shit.
He was being asked to choose between Davin and Zin. He couldn't make that call. If either died because of him, he'd never be able to live with himself. Shadow frowned as he listened to them arguing. After a second round of their escalating pitches, he whistled.
"While this argument is really unamusing and unproductive, and I couldn't care less about the outcome, I feel obligated to mention something you might find interesting."
He waited until all of them were facing him before he spoke again.
"Why would Madol be summoned for this? Seems a massive waste of his talents, if you ask me."
The color faded from Falcon's face.
"What delusion are you suffering?"
"No delusions, friend. Right before I left, they sent a guard after him, and I'm sure it wasn't for coffee or tea or for an afternoon snack. They usually only call him out for war."
Medea cursed under her breath and turned to face Falcon.
"They're planning to use him to lure you, aren't they?"
Falcon nodded.
"So it's a trap."
"Orion?"
She pulled the ring from her pinky and held it out to him.
"Go to Davin and make sure he's all right. Tell him I'll be there with the Dragonstone as soon as I can. Please keep him safe for me."
"Yeah, right.
And leave Zin alone? Was she insane? No chance in hell." Falcon gave her a puzzled stare.
"What are you doing?"
"I'm not about to let you walk into that nightmare without someone at your back. God or whatever you are, you'll still need some support."
"What about your people?"
"They're not my son, but Mador is yours." Tears blurred her vision. "For that, we marched to hell itself."
Orion suddenly realized just how deep Medea's feelings were for Falcon, and he honestly didn't know how to feel at that moment. Falcon stepped around her.
"Shadow, get Orion back to Sanctuary. We'll..."
No,
Orion said, interrupting him. "We stay together." He wasn't going anyplace until he knew Zin was safe. Shadow grimaced.
"Oh, yeah, because a large, unfamiliar motley group sneaking through a castle would never get noticed by anyone or get reported. Sounds like a great suicide plan to me. So glad Varian volunteered me for this happy venture into torture and hell. Bastard fey rat that he is."
Falcon draped his arm over Medea.
"You sure about this?" Shadow's right. Heading in there with us isn't the sanest bet.
She nodded.
All right, then, demon. Off to see what trouble we can find.
Shadow let out a fierce groan.
Why do I always end up with the crazy ones?
Orion smirked.
Birds of a feather?
Shadow didn't appear the least bit amused.
Now I remember why I don't like you.
He swept his gaze to Blaze and Falcon.
Any of you, as far as that goes.
With a deep breath, Shadow cracked his knuckles.
All right, kids, last chance. Those who want a ticket to sanity, raise your hand, and we go out the portal to your home realm.
He waited a full minute before he let out an exaggerated groan.
Okay, then, suicide it is. Buckle up, buttercups. Keep your hands inside the cart at all times and try not to get your head chopped off. Thank you for choosing to ride the grand stupidity today and for dragging me into this when I'd much rather be at home sorting my dirty underwear and watching the grass grow.
Oh, stop whining,
Blaze clapped him on the arm.
You love the excitement.
Yeah, you keep believing those lies, Mandrake, and inhaling those fumes. Shadow manifested a long rope.
Medea frowned as he stepped toward Brogan with it. What are you doing?
He paused to give her an irritated grimace.
Well, Punkin, if we march in through the front doors, your enemies will descend on us like vultures on nummy roadkill. And while I do have more stupidity than the average man and a certain flair for theatrics, I can really do without a thorough gutting. Fact is, I'm doing my best to avoid the experience for the entirety of my exceptionally long life.
He knotted the rope around Brogan's waist.
You plan to take us through the shadows?
Brogan's voice was scarcely more than a whisper.
He nodded. If we teleport in, Morgan will know instantly. Only safe way in or out is through my realm.
Medea was even more confused as Shadow moved to loop and tie Brogan to Brandor.
And so I ask again, why the rope?
Keeps you from getting lost in the dark, princess.
Shadow moved next to Blaze. Her heart stopped beating as she finally understood.
The thread between the worlds?
Shadow nodded.
Home, sweet fucking home.
The rope is to keep anything from snatching one of you away from me while we move through it. Because to get lost there was to never be seen again. The darkness was ever hungry and sought any nourishment it could. Life being its number one sustenance. Shadow roped everyone together and then double-checked the knots to make sure everyone was linked together. He then lifted his arms and drew a series of symbols, reminiscent of an orchestra conductor directing a band only he could hear, and began a melancholic humming from deep inside his chest, haunting and thrumming. He picked up the crescendo, and as he did so, the air around them stirred. One moment they were standing outside, and in the next, they were in a blurry, swirling world of dark sepia. It was like being trapped inside an old Nickelodeon machine. Everything had a jerky, surreal feel to it, leaving them disoriented and a bit queasy.
It'll take a few minutes to get your bearings.
Shadow's voice sounded as distorted as the scenery.
Why is everything so weird here?
Brogan asked.
You're in the lining of the worlds. Think of it like a hollow realm.
Shadow held his left hand up, and a small porthole appeared to show them a bright, sunny park where children played a game of chase.
From here, you can venture anywhere, past, present, future, in all the worlds.
He closed the porthole and opened one on his right that showed a storming sea. It was both beautiful and terrifying. Shadow walked forward, leading them through his eerie domain. Time truly had no meaning here, and they couldn't tell if they'd been walking for minutes or days when Shadow suddenly stopped and let out a foul curse as the sound of a howling came through the air. They all turned and could suddenly now make out the sounds of the Krom's horse as he rushed toward them. And he wasn't alone. What appeared to be 100 shadow dogs followed in his wake with their yellow eyes glowing. Orion curled his lip at the sight of them. Shadow handed the rope to Falcon.
Stay on the road. Move forward and I'll join you as soon as I can.
What are you?
Go!
He roared at Falcon.
Forward! Don't stop! If the barking dogs get to you, you're finished!
Falcon rushed forward, dragging them in his wake. They ran up a small hill and turned back, just in time to see Shadow overrun by the demonic dogs he'd sought to hold them back from their heels. Medea's eyes widened at the horrific sight.
We're dead.
Orion, Blaze, Falcon, and Brandor took positions between Medea and Brogan as the rabid dogs approached them. There was nothing left of where Shadow had been overrun by them, not even a drop of blood. It appeared as if he'd been completely devoured, every last bit, body and soul. Louder and louder, the barking and snarling grew. Brogan reached out and took her hand. Then, just as the twisted demonic dogs reached them, the shadowed earth shot up at a right angle, forming a wall between them and the demonic beasts. They slammed into it and howled out in agony. Swirling and twisting like smoke, the ground formed a giant hand that sent the animals scattering and running off into the dark. The Crom came in the next wave on his eerie ghost steed. Rushing and snorting fire, the beast seemed every bit as determined to add them to its menu. Just as it would have reached their position, the hand bent around and curved up to form a huge beast of a man.
You have no power here.
Though the voice was distorted in its inhuman growl and pitch, Orion still recognized it as Shadow's. The Crom pulled his horse up short, causing it to rear and paw fire at the hand.
This curling belongs to me.
The rasping voice came from Brogan.
Shite.
Orion cursed as he saw that Brogan's eyes were now milky white with no iris or pupil whatsoever. Her skin was ice cold to the touch. The Crom had obviously taken her over completely so that he could speak through her. Blaze growled low in his throat. He must have realized what was going on.
You're not taking her.
Brogan choked, then fell to her knees to clutch at her throat. It was obvious the Crom was commanding her to speak Blaze's name, and she was refusing to give him the power of death over the mandrake. Throwing her head back, Brogan let out a blood-chilling screech. She pounded at the ground until her fist was bloody and bruised.
Stop it!
Blaze shifted into his dragon's body. He let loose a blast of fire toward the Crom. Engulfed by the fire, he laughed through Brogan's throat, then threw his whip of bones and skulls toward Blaze. The head at the end of it opened its mouth as if it were laughing at the mandrake. Shadow caught it and threw it back toward the horse and rider.
Leave here, or I will dine on you both.
Yanking his whip free of Shadow's grasp, the Crom snapped it in the air, shooting sparks of fire in all directions. Sulfur rained down over them.
I demand my property.
He cracked his whip for Brogan. Orion caught it again and yanked the Crom from his horse. Faster than Medea could blink, Falcon was on him. He grabbed the Crom and pulled him up from the ground.
Renounce your claim on the curling here and now. Give her her freedom, or I will rid you of your essence for all eternity.
The Crom struggled for several seconds until he realized that Falcon wasn't about to give. More than that, he came to the startling and truthful conclusion that Falcon indeed had the means and ability to carry out his not-so-empty threat.
Very well, my lord. I give the curling her freedom.
No sooner did Brogan speak those words than she fell forward to lie in a heap. Blaze returned to his human form so that he could rush to her side and pull her into his arms.
Ro,
his voice quivered from the strain of his fear.
Speak to me. Say something.
Brandor knelt beside them.
Brogan, please don't leave me alone.
Still, she didn't move. She didn't even appear to breathe. Her face turned pale, then blue. Blaze cupped her cheek and cradled her against his shoulder.
Speak to me, my lady. I cannot live knowing I caused you harm.
When she didn't respond, Blaze choked on a sob and lifted her up. Her head fell back while Brandor took her hand and kissed it, as if it were unspeakably precious. Tears fled down his cheeks. Orion knew that love firsthand. He'd felt it the day Tanis had died, and it sucked to the outer reaches of hell itself. He wanted to scream and rage against the cosmos. It wasn't right or fair. Damn them all! Shadow swirled past them to Brogan and lightly touched her cheek. No sooner did he withdraw his hand than her eyes fluttered open. Lost in their grief, neither Blaze nor Brandor saw it, not until Brogan pulled her hand from her brother's grasp and sank it deep into Blaze's pale hair. "They can take me by force and break every bone I have, but only you will ever have my heart, Blaze, for it alone is mine to give."
Laughing and crying, he pulled her to his lips so that he could kiss her. Brandor quickly withdrew from them, and though it was obvious he didn't like to see his sister in the arms of another man, he didn't say a word as he moved to stand beside Medea, facing the opposite direction, like Orion. Snorting at their ridiculous actions, Medea wiped at her eyes. She drew a ragged, grateful breath. More grateful than words could express that she was alive, Orion glanced at her with Falcon, then over to Brandor.
"Don't we feel like the odd ones out?"
Shadow manifested between them and draped his arms around their shoulders.
"I feel your pain, my brothers. I'm always the oddest one of the odd."
He darted his gaze around them.
"So, which of you assholes destroyed my robe?"
When they finally reached their destination, Shadow slowed down.
"We're here."
With his powers, he cut another hole into a small room from his shadow realm. Shadow stayed back while they walked through. Then he joined them and sealed the rupture tightly closed. Medea gaped.
"How do you do that?"
"That's like asking me how I breathe. I don't know. I just think and it happens."
Shadow gave her a sarcastic grin.
"It's magic."
Rolling her eyes at his sarcasm, she shook her head at him.
"You're a sick bastard."
"Always."
Orion stepped around them to scowl at the smear of blood on the floor. Even though there was no color in this room where they were, everything appeared as shades of black and white, like an old movie. He knew the looks of that, the smell of it.
"You're wounded?"
Shadow paused at Medea's question but didn't answer. Then they all saw it, the huge gaping wound in Shadow's side that was partially concealed by his cape. Orion took a step toward him.
"Shadow?"
His eyes rolled back into his head as his legs buckled. He would have hit the ground hard had Falcon not caught him and lowered him slowly to the floor. Yet no sooner did he pull back than the door opened to show a small group of Fae. The rasping of metal filled the air as the Adonai unsheathed their swords. An instant later, they attacked. Orion manifested his sword and shield and charged them before he attacked. With his skills honed by thousands of battles, he drove the Fae back to cover them. Brogan stayed by Shadow's side to defend him as they dealt with this newest assault. Of course, the Fae sounded an alarm, because keeping quiet would just be too much to ask, wouldn't it, damn villains? Orion glanced to Falcon.
"Well, this isn't how I saw these events unfolding."
Falcon snorted at his sarcasm.
"I knew better than to get involved with daemons and dark hunters. This is what I get for coming out of my hole."
With a grimace, Medea lopped the head off her Fae opponent, then turned toward Falcon before she engaged another enemy.
"Stop whining, dragonfly. Why don't you shift and send fire to them? Make this a little easier on us, huh?"
"Simple spatial awareness. If either Blaze or I changed right now, we'd kill the lot of you, as we'd take up this entire room, and you'd just be crushed beneath us. Still want me to shift, love?"
Medea flashed him a grin as she kicked her opponent back.
"Please, don't."
"Thought you might feel that way."
Just as they finished off their Adonai and began to make sure there weren't more, the door flew open. They turned as one solid group to face this new onslaught. As tall as Orion, the newcomer was swathed in the golden-green armor of a Fae guard. A thick leather hood covered his head. Muscled and fierce, he stood with the cocksure stance of a warrior who knew how to fight to the bitter end. Yet he didn't draw his sword. Rather, he held his hands out to his sides, as if amused by them and their predicament. Orion lifted his shield and prepared a psychic attack. Instead, laughter greeted them.
"Bet if I sneeze right now, I send a lot of you jumping straight to the ceiling like a glaring of cats."
Falcon growled deep in his throat.
"Varian, you worthless bastard. Get in here, Shadow's down."
The humor died instantly, while the man shut the door, then lowered his hood to expose his long, dark hair.
What happened?
Varian knelt by Shadow's side. Falcon joined him there to help tend Shadow.
We were cornered by direwolves.
Direwolves or Gwishki?
Gwishki,
Blaze answered. Varian cursed.
Was the Chrom with them?
Blaze nodded without further comment. Varian used his powers to strip Shadow's leather armor away. Then he lifted the linen shirt to inspect the damage. Orion cringed in sympathetic pain at the sight of the festering wound and all the other deep, ridged scars that marred Shadow's cut and ripped abdomen and chest. Again, Varian cursed, this time more lewdly.
Damn Shade. Can't you ever do anything halfway once in a while? No, you don't get a little wounded. You gotta get practically gutted.
Falcon sat back on his heels.
If you hold him, I can heal him.
Varian stopped Falcon.
If you're planning to tap what I think you are, don't. Apollo will feel it and jump all over you the minute you try.
He worked to stop Shadow's bleeding.
I've got this. You have a mission to complete, but I should warn you.
Orion's got twisted over that tone. Varian's gaze went to Blaze before he met Falcon's stare.
There's a stairwell at the end of the hallway that will take you down to the catacombs. Be careful. They're expecting all of you to come here and be stupid.
Oh, well, that they could do.
Then far be it for us to disappoint them.
Falcon saluted him with the key that he had taken from Shadow.
Thanks.
He rose, and they left the chamber.
Where does this lead? Medea asked as they came up to a tunnel.
Morgan's garden.
Blaze's tone was flat and emotionless in the dim light. I don't understand. A garden underground? No sooner had she finished the question than they slowed down. Falcon used his dragon fire in his hand as a torch so that they could see what was around them. The moment he raised his arm over his head and the light chased away the heavier shadows, Orion's heart stopped. And so did he. This was it. Holy shit. The garden was massive and lined with giant dragon statues that went on in an endless, eerie display in every direction. Brandor turned to look at Orion.
The light fog down here is from their breath. At least by that we know they're still alive, and if they are frozen by Merlin's spell.
Medea frowned. I don't understand. If they're frozen, how can they breathe fog? Though he was blind in his human form, Blaze glanced around Brogan and then Medea before he answered.
The gas we exhale, it causes that, even when we're locked in by magic. Not sure why, just a peculiar byproduct.
Do we have to free them all? She asked. Before Orion could explode with his answer, Falcon headed for the largest beast over on his right.
It's the safest thing to do. That way Morgan won't have any to rouse and use against us.
Orion was still too emotionally charged to speak. He was afraid if he did, he'd burst into tears. Afraid if he moved, he'd fall to his knees. Where was Zin? He was desperate to find her. Blaze left Brogan's side as he felt his way through the darkness.
I'm not sure how to use my father's ring to awaken them, do you know?
Falcon reached out to take it from him. Just as their fingers brushed, the dragon nearest them opened its eyes and growled. Falcon pulled back as the beast by his side rose to do battle. Blaze took his arm and fisted his hand in his sleeve to stop him.
Don't! That's Mador!
Mador!
The name came out in an anguished breath. Mador was Falcon's son who'd been taken from him. Finally in control of himself and able to focus on something, Orion splayed his hand against Falcon's chest to stop him from approaching his child. They have him pinned. He jerked his chin toward the chain that held Mador in place. I'm betting if you free the dragons, it'll kill him. Because that was the kind of nasty tactics the gods specialized in. They were nothing if not cruel. The chain ran straight into Mador's chest and no doubt through his heart. Damn Apollo for this. And that wasn't all. He was muzzled, too. That combination of cruelty would have made Mador insane. No dragon did well in captivity, not even a mandrake. They were meant to roam free, not be bound in such a manner. Stepping past Orion, Falcon reached to touch his son's scales.
Mador, calm yourself. We're here to help.
With a fiery hiss, Mador lunged at him so that Falcon couldn't make contact. Mador lashed at Blaze with his tail. Falcon barely pulled Blaze back before Mador pierced him with a spike.
Stop! You don't want to harm us!
Of course I do. It's your fault I'm here. I intend to kill you both!
Falcon winced at a truth he couldn't change.
I know.
And I'm sorry for that.
You're about to be even sorrier. Those 3 seconds before I kill you.
Suddenly the floor rumbled under their feet like a 6.0 magnitude earthquake. Blaze, what the hell's going on here?
No idea. Flying hell monkeys, maybe?
Orion glanced around the room, trying to find the source. They should be so lucky. Instead of Dramonk demons being unleashed, the cracks in the stone widened, and a greenish smoke spiraled out. It was as if the entire dungeon were alive and moving. No, not moving, breathing. That was exactly what it felt like, smelled like. The way the floor and walls moved was in time to someone's intake of breath, in and out, seismic, rolling, jarring. Orion sneered as he caught a whiff of some foul, sulfuric stench. Someone tell me these are vapors like the Delphian Oracle used to get high on before she mumbled gibberish? Medea shook her head. Sorry, little brother. I actually visited her once, this ain't it. True to her prediction, the smoke coiled into fierce warriors, complete with armor and swords. They had a lot of swords.
Damn it!
Orion summoned his sword and shield again. We cannot catch a break!
Hey, I gave you an easy way out, Falcon reminded him. You could be home right now, watching Survivor, but no, you chose to be here.
What can I say? I'm an idiot. I blame it on the fact that I come from a long line of them, but my mom and dad would kick my ass for the insult, so I'll blame Stryker for raising me among them. Anyone have a clue who and what these assholes are?
It's the dungeon, enchanted to ensure their victims will live no matter what's done to them. Once they're finished with the torture, they take the lifeless body and add it to the catacombs. But the byproduct of that cruelty and magic is that the dungeon absorbs the tortured soul and holds on to it forever. It makes the soul a part of it. After a time, Le Montpain bonds with the others that are trapped here until they become one single entity.
Okay.
Falcon glanced around at the forming warriors. So they're ghosts? He shook his head.
No. The nature and strength of the residual magic combines with the souls. Instead of making individual ghosts, they become one single beast, l'ombre de l'amour.
Oh, just awesome. And here Orion had thought that Apollyme had the lion's share of fun toys. No. Leave it to the Fey Bitch Queen to have something known as the Death Shadow. Falcon stared at him.
Are you telling me that we're facing Shadow's evil twin?
Brandor laughed.
He's a prince underling, actually. If Shadow were here, he could control Lombre and force him into retreat, or at least order him to stand down.
Why did those words make him sick to his stomach? Without him? Orion asked. Glancing around at the numerous warriors the darkness was spawning, Brandor sighed.
We're screwed.
Lumber's a nasty bastard, filled with the screams and righteous agony of a million innocent victims. They say it's driven him mad, and so he attacks everyone who comes into his domain indiscriminately. Medea scowled.
Then how does Shadow quell him?
Hell if I know. For that matter, no one knows for sure. Only that he goes without fear into wherever it is that Lombre lives and emerges victorious.
Falcon growled in frustration.
Well, that's fucking useless.
Orion sighed heavily. They had to find some way to awaken Zin, get Mador free without killing him, awaken the other dragons, and stop Lombre from attacking them, or killing them. Orion felt sick to his stomach.
We're doomed.
Falcon coughed.
Guys? I have an idea that I'm pretty sure you're gonna hate.